I believe I receive your grace to deliver your word as accurately as you have delivered to me. I thank you, Lord. It is always the entrance of your word that brings light and understanding to the simple heart. I thank you, Lord, as your word comes forth, it would gain entry and entrance into the hearts of your people so that light would come, understanding would come. Lord, that at the end of this message, everybody under the sound of my voice would have gone from wherever level of glory they may be with you right now to a higher level of glory. I thank you, Lord, the joint combination of light and understanding places your people in the position of supremacy. We come against every attacker. The devil, we lock you out. And we lock God in. We give God all the praise. To you be the praise. To you be the glory, O God. It's in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A round of applause for Brother Tola. Awesome. Thank you so much, sir. Amen. Can you turn with me quickly in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, please. There's no first or second Colossians, Mr. O. Colossians chapter 1, please. The title of the message is The Good Fight. But there are a few verses in Colossians chapter 1 that paints a very good picture of the fight we fight. All right, so Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to start reading from verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 9, and it says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy." Okay, I think I can stop here. Verse 10 paints the good fight. Because that's what you're fighting for. That's what you're fighting. I mean, I want to believe that the heart cry, the desire of every believer, is that they may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, and being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. In the knowledge of God. And that's what you're fighting for. I mean, what else would you fight for? That everywhere you go, verse 10 is a testimony they say of you. This one walks worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a message in its right. Walks worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He fully pleases him. He is fruitful in every good work. Amen. Hallelujah. And that changes the definition we've given to spiritual warfare. Some of us, we think spiritual warfare is fighting the devil. Fighting against... No, we're not fighting the devil. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. You reminded me. The song we sang, Worthy is the Lamb. There's a phrase there. The darling of heaven. The darling of heaven. Who's the darling of heaven right now? I won't make today your questioning. We are now the darlings of heaven because of what Jesus did. We are the darlings of heaven. Amen. And spiritual warfare, we are not fighting to gain. No, we're not fighting to gain. You see, the victory that Jesus acquired, who is it credited to? It's you and me. He came in victory. He did not need to fight for victory. He got that victory for you and for me. That victory at Calvary. The fact and the truth that his body is no longer in that tomb is the evidence heaven gives us that the victory is in your name. Amen. And that's spiritual warfare. You're protecting it. You're not fighting. Pastor said we can't crown. It's true. You're not fighting for victory. You can't. Nobody could afford to get the victory that Jesus acquired for us. You're not fighting for victory. You are protecting. You are a custodian of what he has done. You are protecting it. And for somebody that is so defeated, absolutely stripped zero against people who have all the power and all the authority, it seems it's a lopsided battle. I mean, as I was sitting down there, God gave me a picture. They say, okay, well, you are going to fight somebody. Picture yourself, ring. Your opponent is there, but just before this fight starts, your brother steps in and beats this person mercilessly. Can't move. They counted to 1 million. He's still down. Say, okay, now your own fight can start. That's the picture of Christianity. Yeah, having disarmed all principality and power, he made an open spectacle, triumphing over them in it. Then he said, okay, hey, you, just go and just put your leg on his neck and just keep it there. As we're not fighting. Yes, he makes it look as if you are fighting for it. You are not. You are protecting everything he went to Calvary to get for you. Now that is the good fight. That is the good fight. Everywhere you go, anywhere you go, you remind him. You have chance to leave. It's either you leave now or I would disgrace you. Remember what Jesus did for you. Leave now or don't even give him a chance to decide. You just attack him. Attack him. Jesus himself said, you can trample on all of the powers of the enemy. Nothing. Some of us are afraid to mention devil. He's a defeated foe. The only power he has against you is the one you give him. Is the one you give him. The room you have allowed him. It's the one you give him. If you give him no room. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We give you praise. Hallelujah. The good fight is, or spiritual warfare is, everything for which he went to that cross to buy for me, I am making sure I live in it, I enjoy it, and I protect it. And it's not going to stop there. I will tell everybody that comes my way. I'll tell as many as possible. Because it seems as if the church is still trying to establish itself in that which Christ has bought for her. And then because we are busy trying to do that, we are failing in that one other part. If you knew how to become a billionaire, would you keep it to yourself? You had a secret. This is the path to financial abundance. You won't keep it to yourself. You might even open station and start sharing it with everybody. And we have the greatest gift. We have the greatest gift. So the fight in our hands is not just establishing ourselves in all that God has done for us. It's also taking it out there, because there are people out there that are crying. They are dying, and Jesus died for them too. Jesus died for them too. And I believe it was the last time I was here, was it two episodes? Pastor said, he or God drops these phrases through him. He said, the greatest gift that Jesus left the world is the church. And the church is you. And that's the greatest gift. That's the greatest. Without the church, this world is finished. Completely. Completely. Finished. Because where's the light? When you take the world, take the church, where's the light? Take the church, where's the salt? But why are we not shining? Why are we not shining? Amen. That we are. Yes, we are special. We are VIPs. We are very important. We are anointed. We are blessed. We are redeemed. Oh, if we were of no use, the day you got born again, God would have taken, okay, this is where you're of use now, in heaven with me. But did that happen the day you got born again? No, you're still here because your use here now is to let your world around you know that Jesus is Lord. Amen. And that Jesus is Lord. That there is a way out. That there is victory to be enjoyed. That 3 John 2 can be something you enjoy, not just something you confess. It's good to confess it. Start with, amen. Start with confessing it. Amen. But you get to that point where, you know, it just oozes out of your life. 3 John 2. Yeah. Prosperous in all things. Healed. Prosperous in all things, or prospering in all things, in health, just as your soul prospers. Amen. Now that is a good fight. But where does it start? Where does it start? Where does all of this start from? What's the foundation for all of this? The foundation. Somebody help me. What's the foundation for all of this? Anybody? The foundation. Where does Christ, yes, praise God, yeah? The foundation. Foundation. It all starts with what you do, with what you do with God's word. I think there's a prayer, and it's part of the grace. It's part of our prayer we share in the grace. We say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Now, it's because of the grace of Jesus that we have access to the love of God. Yeah, for God so loved the world. But if he did not give his only begotten son, if his only begotten son was not willing to step in for us, there is no way we can enjoy the love of God. There's no way we even find out the love of God. Yeah, it's the manifestation of Jesus. And that is love. He gave his only begotten son, and his only begotten son was willing to be given. But out of those three things, there's only one that is active, something you do. And that's your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Without fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the love of God, the grace of Jesus will just be words. You don't have the words, phrases. But for those phrases to become a reality in your life, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And that one too, we need to break it down. What does it mean to fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Yeah, you can pray in tongues. Yeah, that's fellowship in the Holy Spirit. You can bless God, you know, worship him. That is holy. But as I alluded to in the beginning, the one place you would find the Holy Ghost is him hovering over the waters. That brings us back to God's word. It is what you do with God's word. Amen. The more time you spend with God's word, the more time you give access for fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the more time you give the Holy Spirit to be God's interpretation of what he has written, the more time you spend with the word of God, the more you open yourself, the more you release yourself to fellowship with him, the Holy Spirit. And then you get to, you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ now becomes something you actively know. And the love of God is not just something you can talk about. You can say, look at me. I'm a full manifestation of the love of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, please. Let's take Matthew chapter 16. And then we'll try and... Yes, we can bring it. Can bring this to a close. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And I'm going to read verse 18. This was when Jesus was asking his disciples, who do men say that I the son of who do men say that I the son of man am? Who do men say that I the son of man am? But we're going to go straight to verse 18 because this is the response Jesus gave after Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, let us back up to verse 17. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. On this rock. On this rock. He says, and I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock. What rock? We need Jesus' interpretation of this rock. Because it is on that rock that he builds you. On that rock he builds you. So what is the rock he was referring to? He said flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Yeah, it's fine. You are blessed. You are blessed extremely. If you are voluntarily part of a church where you can guarantee that God's word comes freely flowing as a revelation, you are blessed. Absolutely blessed. And we thank God that's the case of this church here. But you cannot live on that diet. Just come on Sunday. You know, pastor has repackaged it. He has humbled himself. None of him, more all of God. He has brought the word. But you can't live on, you know. How many of us, just think about your favorite meal. But it's just once a week. Your favorite meal, healthy, but you have it only once a week. Would you survive? You can't. He says flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. But my Father, the rock he's talking about is you creating opportunity in your own life to hear directly from him. That is the rock he was talking about. And truth be told, God is always talking. Always talking. You want evidence? He says, Jesus himself said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. God is always talking. He knows your life. The quality of your life you live is dependent on his word. So he's always speaking to you. He's always speaking. The rock Jesus is referring to there is you creating opportunity in your own life to get direct revelation from God. We have highly exalted our pastors to the position of the ones to hear from when God wants to speak to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. He wants to speak with us. So, excuse me. So the challenge we have is creating that opportunity. Creating times in our lives when our fellowship with God's word, our fellowship with the Holy Spirit produces revelation. Gloria Copa says, you need your own revelation. You need your own revelation. You cannot, okay, at the start, yes, when you first got born again, you could survive on the revelation of your pastor or the revelation of a close brother or close sister. You can't enjoy all of that. But I guess the point, you move from childhood, you're no longer a child. God wants to speak to you too. You need your own revelation. And the truth is, the truth is, you can have your own revelation because, praise God, thank God, Christians don't allow technology to go. You people have Bible on mobile phone. I nearly cried because I'm not like my son who, you give me the phone, you be doing things. Yeah, so my phone can do all of this. But what I bumped, you can check your screen time. And the highest, it was telling me then that the most of my time is spent on Candy Crush. I have a Bible on that phone.
Hallelujah.
I think my Bible was, after Candy Crush, it was, oh God, I think it was the 7th or the 8th. And we're wondering why are we not experiencing victory? We're experiencing. He says, I will build you. But it's on this rock, revelation from me. Come on, let's. He came to Job. He says, stand on your feet. Yeah, well, first of all, let me deal with you. Then after I deal with you, I deal with your three friends that have been talking all this, you know, they're waffling, they're blowing air. Stand on your feet. Let's stand on it. Let's get serious. The victory is there. God has not said, okay, oh, yes, so you're going to fast, you're going to pray to get, no. You are in the victory already. The victory is yours. All you are doing is protecting it, and then sharing with everybody else, letting everybody know what I'm enjoying. You can enjoy it too. What I'm living through, you can live through. But you need your own revelation. Pastor touched it, but I'll put weight on it. I'm going to put weight on it now. You need your own revelation on tithing and giving. You need your own revelation. So you're not just tithing because every Sunday we say tithe. No, you found out for you. You found out for you why I'm tithing. And then you're tithing. And then you are laying claim on the blessing that follows the tither. Now you are ready. Because God said, I'll rebuke the devourer. We find it hard to give because what is coming is limited. But what are you doing about tithing? That's what connects. You take your limited salary. You say, okay, I give you praise for this. I honor you with it. I'm taking 10%. let me juggle your mindset. It's not 10% of your net. You are serious about God. It's 10% of your gross. Now you are talking. I honor you with this. I bring the tithe in honor of your name. I bring it. Now you have connected yourself to unlimited supply. But you see, we give, but we think it is wrong to lay claim for the reward of the giver. Ha! Huh. You are the righteousness of God. Yes. Have you given in obedience? So, how many wise farmers have you seen? They forget where they plant their seed. Have you seen any farmer? He plants seed, though, but he doesn't know where he planted his seed. So there's no expectation for the seed to grow. No. You bring it and say, Lord, yes, yeah, it is 10%. Now, you say, you rebuke the devourer. He said, you won't be able to touch, you won't be able to touch my fruit in the field. Nations will call me blessed. That's why he said, you open the window of heaven. You pour me a blessing. I won't have room. Not a blessing for an accumulation of tithe. No, for one. Amen. Glory be to God. And then you connect yourself to his unlimited supply. And then you say, you know what? Father, what does my pastor need? What does he need so that he can fully focus on the word and prayer as concerning the church? God reveals it to you. Then you make yourself available. Now we're talking church. Now we're talking church. But it can't be flesh and blood that reveals you. It has to be your revelation. It has to be. In October, pastor said, and now this one touched my bone because for a very long time I was wondering. He said, was it pastor? I didn't mention it. He said, if you look at your life and you cannot point at one that you are a direct blessing to, I thought about that thing. I said, hey, apart from the students I teach, that stuck with me for a very long time until God revealed to me, Tunde, you're a partner to Kenneth Copeland Ministries. So every time you take willingly of your income and send it to him, every time you pray for him and Gloria, the victory on every life that ministry touches, I can lay claim to it as well. Because I'm a partner. That's when I say, praise God. My life has meaning. My life has meaning. If you are not going to go, and you know someone who is going, support that person with finances and with your prayer. Okay, you're not going to go and tell people Jesus is, but you know your pastor that is, he's looking for different medium to get it done. Support him. I didn't say go to pastor, I said, oh, pastor, how much do you, he's connected to God. Go to God. It needs to be your own revelation. Until then, it's just flesh and blood that is revealing to you. You are not being built. You are not getting the reward of revelation. And then in closing, Pastor Tola, if you can come and support me, please. In closing, Kenneth Copeland says, when he gets to heaven, and God rewards him for all the things that through God he has been able to do, he says he's going to take... I'm going to paraphrase. He says there are two women in his life that takes the glory for everything he's done. Because those two prayed for him. His mother and another woman prayed for him. And he's so humble to realize that, yeah, so he works on his gifting, he works on his means, he works on himself. But he is humble to realize where he is now is because his mother prayed for him. And another woman, because God revealed that woman to him. He knows who's taking the glory for everything that God has done through him. Because I saw it on Facebook, I think within the hour that his wife announced it. And the first thing that came to my, that's Rembok I'm talking about. The first thing I talked about is, who is going to get the gift? The reward for prayerfully supporting Rembong. Yes, we saw him. We know him. We knew him. But somebody was praying. Nothing happens this side without somebody making direct contact with God and issuing a prayer. Nothing happens here. Somebody makes that connection. So I'm going to end today with, I'm not saying go on. Oh God, reveal to me who's praying for me. It's better to give than to receive. So instead of looking for who's the one that's prayerfully supporting me, find somebody. Pick somebody. It's okay, this person. I know God is so wonderful. Because you get to heaven and this person will walk up to you and say, I am here because you prayed for me. Because you allowed God to express himself through you. But you have to plant that seed now. The pastor's talking about unborn again members in your family. The best prayer to pray is, first of all, you start. It's the devil that's binding them. So first of all, take care of that one. You devil! Standing in the way of light of so and so, I rebuke you. Stop now. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We've dealt with the devil, he's gone. Kick him out. They may not listen to you. But Jesus said, pray the Father of the harvest to send in laborers. He said, Father, you know who so and so will listen to. I ask that you send that person to go and speak to so and so. From then on, just give God praise for victory. You pray. That's the prayer you pray for someone that's not born again. You want to try office. Just pick somebody. Many more. Okay, you. Start buying that. Because it's the devil that's blinding them. Take care of the kingdom of darkness completely. So in the name of Jesus, I dismantle all you're doing. I dismantle it. All the strongholds you have. I bring everything down in the name of Jesus. And so then you ask that God sends somebody to talk to that person. And then stand firm. And just wait. Stand firm in praise. Find somebody that you pray for. You start praying for now. And keep praying for. Keep praying for. Keep praying for. Keep praying for. Because I want to close with this. Oh, I'd love to meet the person that was praying for Rehoboam. Love to meet him. 76 million souls. To credited to his ministry. Amen. We are interconnected. We are interconnected. What you do, or let's start with, what you do not do has impact on the rest of the body. And what you obediently do has impact on the rest of us. Amen. The victory is ours. The victory is ours. And if it's a case where you are struggling in that, come and see pastor. Let the pastor pray for you. Let the pastor share. Oh, I dare you. Spend time with God's word. 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 Until you see. Until it becomes your own revelation. Because it's good enough for me or for pastor to come here. Or it's good enough on a Sunday. When corporate anointing is there, so easy to say the right things. It's when you're on your own at home and it comes. And that is what matters most. Be able to say, the victory is mine. The victory is mine. He tried it in my family. First it was John. And then it spread to Joy. Then he tried to come to me. Joy, as I enjoyed 2 years of no downtime. For once, she wake up and just lie down there. And all me and Issa say, no. We have to keep reminding ourselves, their heritage is divine healing and health. Their heritage is divine healing and health. Their heritage. Yes, it looked as if I said the same thing over and over, but that is what I believe. That's what I believe. That is what I believe. That's what I believe. But yeah, we've knocked him on his head. Yes. Joy is now back to herself. So they're not here because of sickness or illness. No. Ace is part of the choir at New Wine and she's ministering there with the choir. So she's here to take this. I said, I can take the children too now. She says, no, she'll take this. Okay. But the devil tried. We knocked him in his head. We made him realize, wrong address. The reason why we could do it is because it's a revelation to us. I'm not going to God's word to find out what the heritage of my, I already know it. So I knock his head, say, yes. Their heritage is divine healing and health. Yeah. God has done it all. He has even prepared a table for you, but he's not going to take you to that table and feed you. You are going to have to stand on your 2 feet and take what by revelation you know is yours. It's sweeter when it's revelation because you already knocked the devil. You've knocked him out because it's revelation. You're now drunk. you've spent time with the water of the word. You've got the point. Now it's the wine. Sorry. You've spent time with the water of the word. Now you're drunk with the wine of the word. It's your own revelation that my finances is not for me. God has not, your salary does not have what it takes to take care of you. Your salary is just seed. Your salary belongs in the trust that you will actually give yourself to. When you put it up, it's your revelation. The top 10% belongs to God. No, not negotiate. Ah, stop. And then your taxes. Because we are in a country where they take it before they give the rest. How many of you pray for your taxes? That money is yours. That money is yours. You have to pray for that money. That the local or whatever, wherever that tax is going, they will use it for good. They will use it under God for good. That money is yours. You have a right as the righteousness of revelation. Because for a very long time, I just thought, they take it. For a very long time, I thought it was 10% of net. It's a revelation to me. As a matter of fact, when tithing becomes your revelation, the percentage you give is no longer the issue. No longer the issue. Because you know, as I said, you are connecting your limited to His unlimited. You are not, oh glory be to God, you are not working for the money anymore. The blessing is now working for you. It can only come revelation. If I ask, why did you give what you gave today? What would you say? Pastor said, we should give. He said, we should give generously. And he said, we should give voluntarily. That's why I gave. No. You're a farmer that's just planted. Now, if it was a case where you plant one corn seed and you come back after, what's the season of corn? Is it 6 weeks or 8 weeks? You come back and get one corn back. Maybe, you know, giving you, you have to think twice before you give. But from one corn, you get cobs of corn. God put this with 30-fold. And I hope you know 30-fold is not 30% interest. It's 30-fold. 30 lots what you give. 30-fold, there's 60-fold, there's 100-fold. When it becomes your revelation, for everything you give, you can stand in righteousness in full expectation of the promise of God for a 100-fold return. Giving will become, you're not trying, okay, God, I'm trying to match you because I'm your son. Giving. Because now, giving and tithing has now become a revelation. So every time I give, I can record what I gave, where I gave, and then stand in expectation for my 100-fold return. Now you're talking. Amen. And that's also part of the good fight. But I'll draw the curtain to a close here. It needs to become your revelation. And the one way you give your life opportunities for revelation is when you're spending time with God's word. Amen. With God's word. Have you learned something this morning? Amen. Praise God. Stand to your feet and give God praise. Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise and all the glory. All the praise and all the glory. All the praise and all the glory. We give you all the praise. We thank thank you, Lord. We leave here today knowing that we will walk worthy of the Lord Jesus. We will fully please Him. We will be fruitful in every good work, and we will increase in the knowledge of you, because we are filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we make up our minds. We will do our part. We will do our part. We will spend time with your word. We will spend time with you. We will invest time in the word. Until your word becomes your revelation to us. Because that's where our victory is. That is where our victory is. We give you praise, O God. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We give you all the praise and all the glory. It's in the name of Jesus we have prayed.